So there was this episode I saw a while ago that was about sex addiction, because a lot of celebrities had come out as sex addicts. So the episode's about sex addiction. There is a scene in the episode where the other detectives are trying to teach Ice-T what sex addiction is, and it takes a couple of minutes. And finally, Ice-T gets it, and they cut to him in this close-up, and he goes, "Oh, I get it. You mean like when someone drinks too much, or snorts cocaine, or bets the house on the ponies?" And I was like, "Yeah, you got it, man." And I was psyched that Ice-T understood so that they could continue with the investigation. But I could have watched another 4 hours of Ice-T just naming examples. Just that close up. And Ice-T like, "Or like when someone smokes too many cigarettes. Or like when someone shops too much with credit cards. Or like when someone plays too many scratchy lotteries. Or like when someone eats too much chocolate cake. Or like when someone eats too much chocolate cake and then barfs it up." And he would just keep talking and it would slowly fade out and say, "Executive producer Dick Wolf."
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 98 for the week of December 14th, 2015. I am surprise stroller David T. Cole, and I'm here with Objection Sarah D. Bunting.
Sustained. Move on, Mr. Cole.
Paychecking Oscar winner Joe Reed.
How about 9 episodes?
Considered especially heinous Tara Ariano.
I take that personally.
And fired without warning Alan Sepinwall.
Is this because I'm a lesbian?
Yeah! Welcome, everyone. Especially welcome our guest, Alan Sepinwall. Hey, Alan.
Welcome, Alan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yay! Of HitFix.com. We have Alan here because I'm going to let Sarah take it away, because this is a subject that is very dear to her heart and she's wanted to do it for a long time. So tell us all about it, Sarah.
Thank you, Tara, and everyone for coming to the very first Extra Hot Great TV franchise draft. This is the Law and Order fantasy draft. Now, for those of you listening who just flinched, "Oh, what sportsy foolishness be this?" Fear not. It really isn't that sportsy. It's basically a variation on any time a reality show set of contestants has picked teams. It's the Project Runway button bag. There's no sports. It's going to be okay. Certainly not that difficult to follow for listeners as smart as ours, so I'll just go over how it works real quick, and if nobody has any questions, we will get right into it. The entire panel is playing today, so each of the 5 general managers will be picking teams consisting of 22 total players from across all Law & Order franchises. Thank you. For purposes of clarity, that's Original Flavor, Special Victims, Criminal Intent, Trial by Jury, Conviction, and Law & Order UK. These teams consist specifically of the following positions: 6 detectives, 2 captains, 1 district attorney, 2 executive ADAs, 2 junior ADAs, 2 forensics or medical examiner office staffers like the coroner, Teru, etc., 2 judges, 2 defense attorneys, 1 shrink, 1 notorious defendant or set of defendants, and 1 bench player who may be picked from those remaining on the board or written in. General managers may select the positions in any order. You don't have to do them in the order that I just said.
Oh.
You can staff your entire detective section first, but you don't have to.
Okay.
General managers must have at least 2 franchises represented in their detective corps, which means that you can't have all mothership as your detectives. You got to have at least 1 like Gorin in there. Players who appear as the same character or position in multiple franchises, i.e. Mike Logan, are only draftable once. Players who occupy different positions over the course of the franchise's life, i.e. Jack McCoy, are draftable at each of his or her positions, but if you draft McCoy as your executive ADA, you cannot then draft him as your district attorney also.
Well, that just makes good sense.
It does.
I will be tracking all of the players, who has whom in what position, and so on, although general managers should feel free to keep their own records and check my work. Any questions before I move on to our surprise?
Oh, no, but I forgot to say up top because I got distracted by Dave and his judgment. It is Law and Order week on Previously.tv, so that's part of the reason why we're doing this. In fact, we had this idea for the podcast first, and then we built the theme wing around it because it's the holidays and we can do things like that. All right, surprise!
Speaking of the holidays, now a gift. I will post all the complete teams on our site at previously.tv. Mm-hmm. Listeners will have a limited opportunity to vote on the slate they think is the most successful or the winning slate. The general manager of that winning slate will receive, in addition to 10, count them, 10 Buncey points, also known as Boincies. A donation to donorschoose.org in his or her name to a related project, be it forensic science, law enforcement studies, conflict resolution, or just the school's TV station.
How wonderful.
Aww.
What a great surprise.
If everyone feels ready to begin, let's see who Picky has going first.
All right, so we'll throw it to Picky. Here you go.
We will start with Joe.
All right.
Joe and I carefully, Picky and I carefully randomized this. The order is as follows. Joe, followed by Dave, followed by Alan, followed by Tara, with me bringing up the rear. Joe, you're going to make your first pick, talk a little bit about your rationale, throw it to Dave, and so on.
Right.
League President Bunt Selig is standing by. Joe, what is the first pick?
So, having played fantasy football before and certain other fantasy sports, the idea that I've gotten for in drafts has been value, getting the good player at the position where good player is at its most premium. In this draft, I have looked at the slate and I believe there is no better value for her position than Anita Van Buren among the captains. She is, I think, head and shoulders above everybody else. I'm hoping this gives me a big advantage at the position. So I'm taking Van Buren.
Fascinating first pick. Dave.
Fenstone. My all-time favorite Law and Order character. And I think a lot of people that got into Law and Order, you know, in the later bits, don't even know he exists. It's all Jack McCoy this, Jack McCoy that. Well, flibbity-flu, sure. I say to Jack McCoy. Ben Stone's where it's at. No nonsense. Plus, he has the incredible bonus in an out-of-universe crazy man portraying him.
True.
The Emperor of Nova Scotia or something like that he is right now. I'm not quite sure.
The Prime Minister of Israel, Manitoba Division.
Yeah. Ben Stone, my no-brainer number one draft pick.
All right.
Well done. Alan.
Somehow we have made it to the third pick with by far my highest ranked player still on the board. Joe, I appreciate the strategy, but when I do fantasy drafting, you got to go with the best guy no matter what. And in the Law and Order franchise, that's Lenny Briscoe. He is my first pick.
Well done.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping that somehow he might last through to mine, but since he has not, I'm going to jump over to Shrink and say Skoda, Skoda.
Oh, damn it.
I had to go for that one. If we only have two picks, I have to pick him early and I was going to say and often, but I can't. So,
and
yeah.
Often.
Skoda.
This is my most enduring celebrity crush, so naturally I need to take Mr. Mike Logan.
There it is.
That's my first pick.
All right, now I'm at a little bit of a crossroads because I want to pick McCoy, but where to pick McCoy? This is interesting. Okay, so I can pick him at either district attorney or what is the
executive ADA. Yeah, just can't pick him in both.
Yeah. An executive EDA is a little bit deeper of a bench, so I'm going to pick McCoy as my district attorney.
Interesting. All right, back to you, Dave.
All right, then I'm going to pick Adam Schiff as my district attorney. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, there seems to be a run on DAs, but I'm not going to panic just yet. I'm going to deal with whoever I wind up with, and I'm going to go with Bobby Gorin from Criminal Intent because, you know, D'Onofrio, he likes to be a close talker, and I want to have the best detective squad I can possibly have here.
He does know a little bit about a lot of things.
Yes.
He does.
Very relieved this one didn't already get picked since we're talking detectives. I'm going to jump over there too and go with Elliot Stabler. Yes, he takes everything too personally. Yes, he relates everything to his 7,000 kids tiresomely, but dead ass. Sarah.
Looking at the DAs, there's not much left, frankly. And I'm pretty sure I don't want to get stuck with Mao Collar, but on the other hand,
you
really
could do
feel
worse.
Like I should take an executive ADA. So I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb and take executive assistant district attorney Rafael Barba from
SVU.
Oh,
good call. Yeah.
Because he really dresses hot and he kind of flirts with people of both genders, which I enjoy.
For
Always
sure.
Fun.
Yep. Back to Joe.
At the risk of going too far without picking any detectives, I mean, I'm going to take Green. I'm going to take Jesse L. Martin's Detective Green.
Who is the father from Blackish? What's his character's name?
Bernard?
Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard.
Yeah, Kevin Bernard.
Kevin Bernard. That's my pick for this round.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Whoa.
Thank you.
I got a whole strategy.
Way.
Don't you worry about it.
If this was a fantasy football draft, Dave would have taken a kicker in the second round. Let's see. All right. Well, since Jack McCoy is still available as an executive ADA, I'm going to go with McCoy.
Now I'm starting to get a little tense because I feel like the good detectives are getting peeled off in a very quick way. So I'm going to go with Munch. I feel like Munch is really underrated. Oh. Of all of the SVU detectives, he's the one who takes it personally the least frequently. So yeah, Munch is my pick.
And he's also hilarious.
And he's hilarious.
Captains. I am going to take as one of my captains, Danny Ross. From Criminal Intent. That's Bogosian.
Okay.
Love him.
Yep, good pick.
I can either do a second detective and really get ahead at that position, or I don't have an executive ADA yet, and I feel like that's going to become a problem sooner rather than later. So I'm going to take Alexander Cabot as my executive ADA.
Very good choice.
Hey, where's Ice-T in this?
He's in there.
Finn Tutuola.
That list got like continued printed on a different page, but he's in there. He's Tutuola.
I would like iced tea, please. All right, Alan, it's your turn.
All right, well, since they made such a handsome couple, not that the show ever really entirely acknowledged it, I'm going to put Claire Kincaid on my staff with Jack McCoy. We know they work well together in the streets and in the sheets.
I'm taking Abby Carmichael because of one very specific episode, one of the two of the franchise where they did like a Sante Kimes ripoff that it ended up being mother and son having sex. And as soon as they get to the revelation that they've spelled that out, she just goes, ew. And it's her
it's
series
so good.
Best moment. And so therefore, Abby Carmichael.
Gosh. I don't think I have an assistant district attorney yet, and I better pick one before I get stuck with someone. So I'm going to go with Paul Robinette.
I guess I'm taking Jamie Ross? Question mark?
Yeah, you could do
I
worse.
She's, very
she's a good one. Yeah. I agree with Sarah.
I would like to pick George Huang as my shrink.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
oh, that's a good one.
Then while the run on ADAs is going on, I will go with Ruby Rosa, who I also really liked as part of that underrated final Mothership cast.
She was on for a while. People sort of forget that.
Yeah, she was. She was on for ages. Now I've been watching them on the channel. Just like so many of her, so many different haircuts. All right. I'm not going to pick the terrible one either, or the one that got horribly murdered. So I'm going to go with Diana Hawthorne, and then I'm going to take her to Ireland.
Yeah. I feel like I need to start staffing out my detectives a little better here. So I am going to take Phil Big Daddy Soretta.
Oh,
as a
good
detective.
Call. He was going to be my next pick.
I think I'm going to go back to the ranks of detectives as well. And I'm torn between. You know what? No, I'm going to take Ray Curtis.
Mm.
Interesting.
The soft of judgment from Tara.
No, I'm jealous because he was on my short list too.
I think maybe I missed a couple scratches, but is Cregan still available for captain?
He is. He is
still out there.
Absolutely.
Then he is my captain.
Yep. Good call.
Oh, captain, your captain. Okay, so let's see here. I'm going to go for somebody from Lola. What the hell? Why not? TJ Jaruzelski, or however the hell you pronounce his name.
Is that Corey Stoll?
The one redeeming feature
it
of that
sure
show.
Is.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to take Declan Murphy, mostly so I don't get caught with Olivia Benson. So So that's my pick as a captain.
I also do not particularly care to be stuck with Olivia Benson, so I'm going to finish off my captain slot with Zoe Callis, who is Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Nice.
Criminal Intent.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
This is maybe a reach, but I'm anticipating I'm going to be really weak at the coroner forensic area. So I'm taking, is it Warner Tamara?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Now going to, you took Robinette, right? Yo, I'm going to take Serena Sutherland, our lesbian.
Ah!
Oh, hey. Someone had to.
All right. Well, she's memorable.
She is that.
Elizabeth Rogers is the only coroner slash crime scene person I could pick out of a lineup, so I'm going to take her now while she's still available.
All right. Good choice.
I'm going to jump over to defense attorneys and take Danielle Melnick.
Damn it!
The great Tova Felcha.
Ah, oh, it's so good. Such a good pick.
That is a great pick.
Yep.
And while I am in that area, let me just cross off Melnick, and I will be taking Shambhala Green.
I knew you were
Damn it!
Such a good one. Now I don't know whether we're going to have a run on defensive attorneys or whether this, the two really good ones have been taken off the board and now I can wait till the later rounds. No, I'm going to go for a judge. I'm going to take Goldberg, Fran Lebowitz.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Somebody picked Jack McCoy as executive already, right?
He's off the board.
I will take Novak.
Good call.
Solid. That's a solid pick.
All right. Well, I should have a cop boss, and since everyone is running away from Olivia Benson, what the hell? Olivia Benson for my captain.
You're a good egg.
Someone had to do it. I'm going to go over to defense attorneys and take Trevor Langan, a.k.a. The Hair from 30 Rock, our great friend Peter Herman, Mr. Olivia Benson.
Nice.
I guess I need a shrink still, don't I?
You do.
And I am going to take Olivette.
Yep. Pick. You got it.
Great value for this part of the draft.
All right. So am I crazy or is Olivia Benson still available as a detective?
She is.
She is.
She is.
I think I'm getting value on her in this round now. She's fallen far enough. I'm taking Benson.
Guys, I'm reaching the end of my Law and Order knowledge.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to pick because he has a name that, to me, says success in when it comes to medical instruments. I'm going to pick this Hopkins guy.
Okay.
As coroner.
All right. Continuing my love affair with the late period Law and Order Mothership cast, I'm going to go Michael Cutter for my other executive ADA.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
I know I need to get someone on my detective bench from one other show that is not SVU. So I guess it is going to be Joe Fontana.
Oh,
good old Dennis Farina.
That's a good one.
Yep.
I need to do a little diversifying myself. And I always kind of admired how much shit she had to put up with from Gorin and various other people. So I'm going to take Alexander Eames as a detective.
That's a solid pick.
Yep.
Love that's Eames.
I'm looking at my detectives as like three pairs of two also when I'm trying to like do this. So it's just like, okay, I can put like Green and Curtis together. They're my A team. But like, who do I want to put with Benson, and I think I want it to be
Brian Cassidy.
Is it Benson?
it's Jeff Goldblum from Criminal Intent.
Ooh, sure. Ooh,
Nichols, is that his name?
That is his name.
Nice.
Hey, did somebody pick Suburgatory yet?
No, he's still on the board. That's Lupo.
Lupo?
Yeah.
I want Lupo.
Suburgatory.
Damn it! That was going to be my next pick.
All right.
Freaking Dave.
Sorry.
All right, well, since you've taken Lupo, I'm going to go from the last Law & Order cast to the very first one, Max Grevy.
Wow, you really pulled some unpopular ones. Good for you.
I knew that that was not going to be a Sarah D. Bunting pick, so
no,
I was just waiting to see.
No, that's not
going to
be a Buncey at all.
Okay, boy, I don't have any EADAs yet, so I'm going to go with Carver. That's Courtney B. Vance, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Yes.
Going with him. Feel good about it. Kind of surprised he's still hanging around, actually. He's a good one.
What do I really need? I guess I need a main district attorney. I'm going to actually go with... I'm going to take Frank Lazar from Brooklyn. He's played by Mark Bloom. Kind of a jerk.
Nice.
So this is definitely a stretch, but this is literally the last ADA whose name I know. So I'm taking Alexandra Borgia.
Good one. She was all right. I like her. I like that actress.
She choked on vomit.
Yeah. She was Rizzoli and Isles? Or
no.
That's Carmichael. Borgia got buried alive on The Following.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, obviously.
I was thinking the other one from Rizzoli and Isles, but I guess it's not her either. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a Pacey sister.
Yeah.
Under the assumption that a good attorney will use all the tools in his toolkit, including knowing the judge and being able to use that to their advantage, I will pick Jamie Ross for judge.
Yep.
Damn it, Dave. Oh, you keep doing this.
Oh, that is tricky. Okay.
All right, fine. Since Dave took Jamie Ross right out from under me, I'm going to go with Elizabeth Meisner, played by the great Lynn Cohen.
The detective's list really gets thin in a big hurry.
Yeah, there's kind of a quality gap.
Okay,
there.
Now that I've successfully gotten someone from non-SVU, I'm going back to SVU, and I'm taking Tucker, the jerk IA guy, because I love him.
Oh my God, I love it. I'm so glad you picked him. Not that glad, though, because I kind of wanted to pick him, but I need some judges, and I don't want... Oh, where'd she go? Where are you? She is played by Judith Light.
Damn
Elizabeth
it.
Donnelly.
Oh, damn it!
Sorry.
I'm trying to read my own handwriting now. Is it Anderley, the Candace Bergen judge?
Yes.
Okay, I'm taking her.
Let me ask you this, guys.
Good things.
Do we have any kind of guest star judges here? You know, we got some...
they all are.
Yes, we do.
I know, but do we have some, like, celebrity power?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Who we got, Tara? Come on.
Herman Mooney is someone, right?
Oh, I like that name.
Let me look it up.
Doesn't matter. I'm picking Herman Mooney because I love that name.
Oh, you are?
That's your picking? Mooney? Okay.
Mooney.
All right, so that's me?
Yes,
his.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, I was looking at the list. I want to take another cop here. Megan Wheeler, why not? We're scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point.
She was okay.
She
had bad
okay.
hair, but she was all right.
I like that actress.
That was during the Julianne Nicholson transition period between everybody hating her and everybody loving her, and I feel like that was the...
I finally transitioned with Red Road. Took a while.
Yeah, I think it was before Masters of Sex. It might have been, honestly, August Osage County. I thought she was really good in that.
She was good in that.
Yeah. All right,
T-Bone, who you got?
I'm taking Nora Lewin, a.k.a. Mao Collar, because I don't want to be stuck with Branch. So that's my district attorney.
That's totally
AKA
fair.
Mao Collar.
I believe I still have a defense attorney spot. I'm probably going to be murdered for this. I don't care. Lainey Stieglitz.
Oh,
damn
yeah.
It.
Yep.
Ah!
Murder.
I flew too close to the sun. I waited around too late.
I am a little surprised. I considered picking her first, actually, but yeah. That was so insane. I just couldn't do it.
All right, well then, if she's off the board, I'm taking CCH Pounder. Maddox?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like I need some lady detectives here, so let's see. Who do I want lady detective-wise? I lost track of who's left. Let's see. The Dave Cole method of picking from people he doesn't know will now...
You have Annabelle Sciorra from Criminal Intent.
Yeah, you got Connie Nielsen.
Sure. Milena Govich,
Connie Nielsen.
Favorite.
I'll go with Annabelle. Let's go with Annabella. What's her character's name?
Barrack.
Barrack. You're in
that
my clubhouse now.
Choice.
All right, I need a defense attorney, and I always really liked the Los Angeles three-parter from season 7, so I'm going to go with Jamie Ross's ex-husband, Neil Gorton.
That is excellent. I'm so glad someone picked him.
Yeah, he's good. Boy. I'll still need another captain, so I'm going to go with Arlene Gonzalez from Los Angeles, because Rachel Ticotin is a cool lady.
I just say, by picking... Cragen as my captain. I don't think I need to pick a second one because he's always there. Like, I think he counts as two.
That's true. But not really. Oh, gosh. I guess it's me, and I'm still a little thin in the detective department, although no one is really filling me with joy here. You know what? I always like this guy. I'm pretty sure nobody else is going to pick him. Chester Lake.
Yeah. I wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, I want to close out that captain's section, and it is getting down to the nitty gritty. Callis is her name? Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio?
She's off the board.
She's off the board? Damn it. Okay.
Sarah picked her.
And I'm going to take Jamie Sheridan. Is he still there?
Yeah, that's Deacons.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at her standing on her own 2 feet defending things. It's Rita Calhoun.
Played by Elizabeth Marvell. That's a good choice, Dave.
That is a good choice, Dave.
Also a good point.
All right, Sarah, which captains are even still available at this point?
Dodds and Hannah.
I feel like...
Dodds from SVU and Hannah.
Hannah is like J.O. Sanders, who was on for like 10 minutes. Dodds was the bridge between Donald Logue and Benson.
That's SVU. Peter Gallagher.
I like J.O. Sanders. Let's go with Hannah.
Ooh, but that makes me wonder. Now I have a... Well, I won't say. Okay. Can we write in our defendant whenever we want?
Sure.
Okay. I'm not going to do it now. I just wanted to know. Okay, back to EADAs. I'm going to take Tracy Kyber from Trial by Jury, the lovely and talented B.B. Newirth.
I need a bunch of DAs, don't I? An executive ADAs. Who do we have left? I don't want Decker. Sonia Paxton was drunk. I don't remember Jake Thorne at all. You know what? Harry Connick Jr., David Hayden on SVU.
Nice.
I need a shrink. All the good shrinks are gone.
That's what you said.
Yeah, that's what I said. Hendrix is Mary Stuart Masterson?
Yes.
Right. You know, I feel like with the recent spat of transatlantic crime that I really should have somebody from the UK, you know, because of all those cases you have to work on both sides of the Atlantic at the same time.
Sure, sure.
You know, like when the Queen murders a bellhop. So I'm going to pick the most British sounding name from the four choices I see here. Joe Hawkins. Joe's a great name, but doesn't sound very British.
Sure is.
Wow, these are terrible British names.
Castle? Come on.
We're going to go with Ronnie Brooks. Whoever he is. Congratulations, Ronnie. You're now in the squad. Whenever Kippers and Bangers and Mash are missing, you'll be there. Ronnie Brooks.
Very all good. Right. I'm going to write in my defendant now. I'm going to go with Nicole Wallace from Criminal Intent.
That is an outstanding choice.
Who was that?
That was
Olivia Dabo. She kept coming back. She was his Moriarty.
Oh, I see.
I don't have any judges, so I'm going to pick one. And the one I'm going to pick is Margaret Berry, played by... that lady with the short red hair who is awesome.
Oh my gosh, that is a really good pick. I still need some detectives. I need another ADA. And I guess I have no choice. I guess there's just the one. Or do we just pick one ADA? Why do I have two here?
I have two.
You just pick one, like, overall district attorney. You only need one.
Right, but the ADAs, I think I had nine total, and you have to pick one, but have people been picking two?
You have to pick two ADAs and two executive ADAs.
Yeah, I have two.
I've been picking two. That's what you have on the fill out your form.
Yeah, no, that may be incorrect.
Oh, well. Do you want one of mine?
We'd only be one short, so I will take Alicia Phillips, played by
Kima.
What's her name? From Carrie Diaries.
Yeah, Freema Agyeman.
And then if anyone's short, we can just sub in an EADA, whatever. This isn't actually a court proceeding. Who cares?
Joseph.
All right. I need one more executive ADA. And Rubirose has been taken as an ADA, but she's also available in executive. Is that correct?
Yes.
Correct.
All right. I'm going to take her.
I like to do my write-in now. And I think he was a defendant at some point. But obviously, the choice is ludicrous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a terrible murder rapist.
Yeah.
And Ice-T's
half-nephew or something.
Nephew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan.
So is that your bench player, Dave?
No, that's
or is
my
that
defendant,
your defendant?
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Ludicrous. Love it.
All right. I need a shrink, and there's not many left. So I will go with Peter Lindstrom because I love Mr. Bill Irwin.
All right, I need to pick another cop, so I'm going to go with Matt Devlin from UK, because that is Jamie Bamber.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
I also need some detectives. Both Cassidys are idiots. Ken Briscoe feels like cheating. I fucking hated Amaro. Jeffries had some problems. You know what? I was the one who enjoyed Serena Stevens, so I'll take her.
All righty.
I need to defend it. Okay, this is the only one I that really ever jumps out at me, and Tara knows exactly who I'm going to pick. What's her name? Carla Homolka. Meredith Grey. Ellen Pompeo.
Oh, yeah.
Ellen Pompeo is fake.
Yes,
Carla
as fake Carla Homolka.
Oh, yes. That's a very good one.
I don't know what her actual character's name was, but
we can look it up.
Do you want to keep your client out of jail? You hire Archer. That's how you keep your client out of jail. Al Archer, defense attorney.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right. Looking at this cop list, slim pickings, but I'm Mr. Sopranos, so I might as well take Nick Falco.
There you go.
I'm going to close out my judges with Rebecca Steinman with the thin, disapproving face and, fluffy lady collars over her robe.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to do my defendant now, too. The Fatch, Peter Facinelli.
Mac Rangers!
Nice.
Episode shared with Dash Mahok, if I recall correctly.
A fine Mahok to you all.
Is that how that's pronounced?
I don't know.
Learn something new every day.
My hawk.
Me hawk.
Maybe.
Me too.
Me talk. All right. So I've got Benson as one of my detectives. And I understand probably that this is not a popular character, but I need to keep everybody on my team on their toes. So I'm picking Stucky as my second coroner because he was the one that went psycho, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, daddy's boy. That guy?
No, not Daddy's Boy. The guy from Shameless, the gay street tough from Shameless.
Oh, sure, that guy. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Wait, Daddy's Boy was available and I didn't realize?
Oh, I don't know if he's available, but he was a coroner on SVU last season. He was like the star of their The Jinx takeoff because he was in drag for part of it.
Well, I'm going to take the man, the legend, Ed Tucker. He tried to build that car, but Ford wouldn't let him.
I took him already.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he's off.
I will take Rex Winters from L.A.
Yeah.
Taking Skeet? Jeez.
Someone's got to do it.
He sounds like he should be Max Powers dirty.
The guy who took all the blame for the awfulness that was Law & Order L.A.
Oh.
God.
Well.
All right, I need another defense lawyer, and since Philip Bosco has played 6 different characters across the franchise, but he's only on here once, I'm going to take Gordon Schell and just pretend that this is all the different Philip Bosco characters.
I don't have any forensics people yet, and so since Rogers' alternate is still on the list, I'm taking the other Rogers.
What am I doing with my life? I guess I need some forensic support staff, too. Even though he wound up Breaking Bad, I'm taking Profaci. Nobody hands a message over better.
Or Profaci.
All right, I still got 2 detectives that I need. So there's 2 Cassidys. One is Milena Govich and one is Dean Winters.
Correct.
I'm taking the Dean Winters one.
What's a TARU in the coroner? What's the TARU?
Technical Assistance Response Unit something.
Okay. Oh, probably. Go ahead with your pick and then I will give you some information.
Well,
no, it's good. It's good.
I'm going to pick her or him. Ruben?
Oh, yes, yeah, that's Keto from Man in the High Castle.
Yeah. Very good. Yes.
Very nice.
He was going to be my next pick.
All right.
Mine too.
That is the Morales of the story.
I need another judge, and I've always liked the look of this guy. He's basically like a turtle with the enormous glasses. Morris Terledzki, played by Damon LeMessner.
Good old Terledzki.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to close out my coroners with O'Halloran. That's the really cheekbony jawline guy. Looks like a cartoon.
That's the one that Stucky killed.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm, okay.
He's cute. Why? Who are you thinking of?
I'm just going to look him up and see if that is who I'm thinking of. Oh, yeah, that's him. Yep, that's my pick.
One more detective. And this is Grimm. Mm-hmm. This is Grimsby, Ontario. However, he's been a solid addition to SVU, and he's super cute. I'm taking Carisi.
Damn it!
Kirk Acevedo from Trial by Jury available? Salazar?
Yeah, he should be. Yes, Salazar is available. Good choice.
Sure is.
I need a captain, but I don't know who's left. Sarah, can you tell me who's left?
William Dodds.
Dodds is Peter Gallagher's eyebrows.
Yep. That's it? Yep. All right. Yep. Guess I'll take him.
He's all right. That's a good choice.
Okay, then I still have to do a DA, and it's down to Branch or Jerry Harden, right?
Right.
And George Castle, who is whatever, senior crown, whatever the fuck.
I vote American, damn it, and I'm going to go with Mr. Peter Coyote, Jerry Harden.
Yeah.
Good one.
Not to be confused with the actor also named Jerry Harden. All right. Given this terrible selection for detectives, my last slot to fill other than defendant, I'm going to go with Danny Beck, the Connie Nielsen detective from SVU. I like her better than anyone else who's left. So, yeah, I stand by that.
So I need a support staff and I need a judge. Boo. I think I will take, as a judge, Pongrassic. She's a classic.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. My second defense attorney, I'm going to take Rothenberg.
Yeah.
Jeffrey DeMunn.
Yep.
Sure.
Nice.
I think Sharon Stone's still out there.
She sure is.
She is? Who's that?
Yeah. Is that Joe Marlowe?
Oh, there's a guy here named James Steele. That sounds pretty good. Yeah. I'm going to go with James Steele because I like that name.
You got Steele and Stone on one team. That's nice. All right. So I just need support staff. Beck. I like the name Beck. I don't even know
Beck's
who it
is. That's
where it's at. Sure.
All right. So before my bench, all I have is my defendant, and I'm going with James Smith, played by Dennis O'Hare in maybe my single favorite episode ever, Pro Se. A.K.A. Sure. The Wife of Heber episode, also featuring Ann Dowd as his sister.
Okay, I need some forensic support. I'm going to take ER Dr. Kyle Beresford, who is the guy who looks like John Schneider.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
All right, so my last pick is my wild card write-in. I looked all over the list of defense attorneys for her, and I couldn't find her, and that's fine, because there's a lot of them. Galliano? Is it Vanessa Galliano? Roma Mafia's character?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like to pick Lauren Ambrose's Coke bottle. Is that okay?
Not anymore.
No, it's not okay at all.
Oh, boy. Gross.
Terrence Wright from Trial by Jury, because why not?
Oh, okay.
All right, well, I was going to see if I could get a ruling in favor of using Paul Robinette, defense attorney, as my write-in, but if Mike Post is eligible, fuck that, Mike Post.
Yeah, why not?
Good call.
Now we're changing the rules, are we?
I'm going to take another defendant from maybe my second favorite episode, and only was reminded of it when J.O. Sanders was mentioned, but it's plays Bill Fallon, a.k.a. Nick Tasca, from the Family Annihilator episode of Law & Order, who's has iron control over his wife and children and is terrifying.
This is kind of a lot of pressure. I'm tempted to take...
This is Mr. Irrelevant, right? Last pick?
Yeah. I'm tempted to take, there's Rollins left. I sort of liked Kim Gralick on SVU. She had really nice hair up in a bun styles. The ballistics lady from CSU is pretty rad. There's
Ken Briscoe,
judge.
Dreamboat.
He was kind of a dreamboat. There was, excuse me, whatever judge was played by Mrs. Giuliani. There's still some defense attorneys, so I'm going to take another defense attorney, Barry Mordock, Holling from Northern Exposure.
Nice! Guys, we did it!
Well, I apologize for various snafus, but once again, listeners, you will have the opportunity to vote on all these slates, and there is a $25 donation to Donors Choose at stake, as well as 10 Boinsies. So look out for that in the next couple of days on previously.tv. And you guys, thank you so much for humoring me with this draft.
Thank you for that organization. Fun.
I'm really hoping we can do this for other franchises, like, for example, Star Trek.
Spoiler, ooh,
won't be organizing that shit.
All right, everybody, it's time to go around the dial. Tara, starting us off.
Just wanted to briefly give a shout out to the iZombie mid-season finale, which was so good. Really gets into some, we've talked about this one, it was our lead topic, but the show has gotten much, much darker and more complicated in season two. And that's about all I can say for a Christmas episode. It was a super duper bummer. So in the best possible way, though. So Major's character has gotten a lot more interesting, which I didn't think was possible. And if you've been thinking about maybe getting on board with this one, it shouldn't take you too long over the holidays to catch up. The season one was short and season two has only been, you know, half a season so far. So yeah, iZombie.
All right, so we're recording this on Monday afternoon, but it's going to publish on Tuesday, right, Dave?
That's
correct.
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the Fargo finale, which I've seen and which I know Tara and Dave have seen, and which is fantastic. I love this season. The only concern was whether they would be able to stick the landing. They did. The good people mostly lived. The bad people mostly died. It was funny. It was sweet. I thought it was great. What about you guys?
I was satisfied with it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And I think this season was so much, it seemed to me so much more self-assured than the first season, whether that was just, practice from the writers or whether they were able to shake off some of the, movie stuff they felt or FX felt like they kind of had to stick in there. It seemed like a much more believable world to me, even though there was visitors from another planet.
Yeah.
Which is like,
which I know upsets Tara.
Which upsets Tara.
Well, when we were watching it this morning, I said, I don't know if I'll be more annoyed if they do bring up the aliens again or if they don't. And they kind of did, but kind of didn't. I still think that was a weird choice, but whatever.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, it didn't really matter too much to the story. It was more of a mood set. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess.
Me, it was a very 1979 kind of thing to happen. I enjoyed it.
And I went back and I watched the scene from last season where the Keith Carradine version of Lou tells Lorne Malvo about Sioux Falls. And at one point he says, like, you wouldn't even believe me if I told you what really happened. Yeah. So there was some hint of that there.
Huh. Yeah. No, I enjoyed the season a lot. And I'm a little sad. I hope they can kind of, like, alternate between present day and, going back into the past for their seasons. I know next season's back in the near present.
Yeah.
But I really, really loved how they handled all the 70s and early 80s isms without being like Boogie Nights about it.
Yeah.
You know, like it was pretty well done.
It's understated.
Some of the song choices were a little on the nose, but overall, like, I love this season so much more than the first one. Like, this is, we're going to get into it in our minis, but this was like my favorite drama of the year for sure.
It's very good. I wish they would have even less movie references, and I feel like over time they should like shed those more and more, because it just should, to me, I would like it more if it was its own thing.
Well, the nice thing about Fargo, the TV series, is they're doing a great job in universe building.
Yes,
like,
agreed.
They obviously were thinking about that from the start, and, you know, the creator obviously has, you know, at least a Cliff's Notes version of what needs to happen in his universe and the characters that are going to go through it and some of the big events. So that's exciting to me that each season we're going to get a little bit more of that and sort of like the threads that go, the string theory of Fargo.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, what do you got?
Golden Globe nominations came down last week, and their television picks were fairly typically Golden Globe-ish in that they were full of very brand new, bright, shiny television shows, which is what they like best. excuse me. For the first time, I'm pretty sure ever, I'm fairly confident saying this without having to look it up, streaming shows outpaced non-streaming shows as far as nominations, and Netflix was the most nominated network, whatever we're calling that common term when we rope in streaming services and networks. Big shows to show up. Outlander, they really liked. That got three nominations for Best Drama, Best Actress, and Best Supporting Actor. Transparent got 3 nominations. Fargo got 3 nominations. Kirsten Dunst, Patrick Wilson both got nominations. Mr. Robot means that Christian Slater is once again in the realm of the awardable actors, which is kind of funny. There are now so many streaming shows that get sort of buzz in this way that it feels like they're actually making decisions between like one or two. It was kind of odd. I thought that Mozart in the Jungle got nominations and Man in the High Castle didn't, when Man in the High Castle seemed to be the one that critics seemed to really like a lot better. I only saw one episode of both of each of those shows.
Wait, Mozart in the Jungle is still a thing?
Yeah.
You got a second season.
December 30th, baby.
He's still in the jungle.
Was it because it got nominated as a musical? Is that why? Because sometimes I feel like they fudge that and they like to have stuff that's a musical.
Yeah, that was in the musical or comedy category. But also it just seemed like that show had been fairly well disregarded. So I guess good job for the marketing folks at Amazon for reminding everybody.
I'll say, since I was like, that didn't get Drowned in a Boot? What?
Yeah. My two personal favorite nominations of the day in television were Ava Green for Penny Dreadful.
Sure.
Which was super good. I think that show airing when it did falls right in the middle. And like, it's the genre makes it not a very awardable thing anyway. But it also, timing-wise, is tailor-made to be forgotten by awards-giving groups. So she was...
She got a nomination, then whoever has to like dabble sweat on her whenever she does her transformations, they should get like a makeup award or something, because like half of that is like, all right, now the hair comes, here comes the, you know, the eye bags and the eye, you know, rings, and let's get that sweat on that chest.
Yeah.
It's good though.
And
she's great.
Jamie Lee Curtis got a Best Actress in a Comedy nomination for Scream Queens, which,
oh, that's fun.
That's a fun nomination. I would have also preferred to see Niecy Nash get a nomination for Supporting Actress, because, sidebar, also the Scream Queens season finale aired last week, and she was fucking amazing and so hilarious. And the entire centerpiece segment of that, that's one basic, like, here's how we're going to be casting blame on these characters, and it goes for like 3 segments, and Niecy Nash just kills it throughout. It was really good. But yeah, nothing for Man in the High Castle, nothing for Kimmy Schmidt, nothing for Jessica Jones. Ooh. But I know all 3 of the, I don't care about Man in the High Castle, whatever. But like Kimmy Schmidt and Jessica Jones, were 2 of my favorite shows of the year.
I am surprised that by the Man in the High Castle not getting
it just
anything.
Seemed like the hypiest show going into that like period when they voted. So
yeah, and
surprising.
There were some. I mean, despite the void, charisma void at the center of that show, there were some really good performances around the edges, including the aforementioned Joel De La Fuente, who was amazing.
There yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk about 30 for 30's The Prince of Pennsylvania. I don't actually know when that dropped, but I just saw it last week. I also don't know what the rest of y'all thought of Foxcatcher last year, if you even saw it.
I saw it.
I wrestled with my opinions about that one.
I did too, Dave. Very good.
I wanted to like it. And I like did a whole like mini interview with my dad, who went to the same prep school sort of at the same time as this weirdo, and was like, yeah, we knew he was a weirdo. but then it was just like, there was kind of, there wanted so badly to be a there, like awards-wise and portent-wise. And there were good performances, and I wasn't angry at it exactly, but it was like, which movie is this trying to be? Who does it want to be about? The 30 for 30 is 50 minutes instead of 2 hours and 10 minutes. It knows what it's about. It's about fucking DuPont killing this guy. It's extremely well done, and I definitely recommend it. I think 30 for 30, after the initial push, and after the like Title IX specials, kind of went off people's radar, and they're not all great, but they're good little, they're solid documentaries. Yeah. And if you like that format, I think even if you don't, this is me like apologizing for Sports Week. I don't know what's up with that, but even if you don't think you like the sport involved, because in the abstract, I like one sport and then half of 2 others, you'll still like the one about Gretzky. I still like watch just like to see how a story is built. It's really good. So,
they just had one this past weekend about the early 1990s Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
The sports team that has defined my entire life. and I haven't watched it yet either. It's sitting on my DVR, but my dad literally like called me the next morning and was like, did you watch it? And I'm like, I haven't watched it yet. He's like, you should watch it. It's really good.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about that one, but A, I hadn't watched it yet, and B, I didn't want to
see a grown man cry. Yeah.
Some more. Yeah. So, yeah, 30 for 30. Give it another look if you forgot it was a thing, because it's still a thing and it's still really good.
Awesome.
Magamaru!
It's the Star Wars creature Cantina that you put together. Action figures each sold separately. You can make them move on revolving discs with the action lever. You can even make them fall.
Gotcha, Hammerhead!
Got him.
I told you not to follow me, Greedo.
You owe us money, Han Solo.
You're not gonna collect this time.
Wow, what a weird place.
Kenner's new Star Wars creature Cantina. Action figures sold separately.
Alright, well, there's a lot to unpack in this one.
And none of it is acting class. God,
like, stupid kids, Greedo doesn't speak English.
Right? First of all, how about that, non-union Mexican counterpart Cantina theme? That was pretty
can
goofy.
Can I just interrupt you, Dave, before you begin unpacking in earnest? Did you own this item?
No, I never had this one.
We own this item.
Yeah, you know why I didn't? Because this is not, you don't get good ROI in this item when you're a kid, because basically this is just a plastic platform with a cardboard backdrop and a couple levers that make the characters pop off the floor.
You had a lot of the guys, though.
I had, whenever I asked for stuff, I asked for the guys and the main vehicles, and that was pretty much my thing. I didn't go for the play sets because I'd rather have more guys.
Right, but I mean the Cantina guys especially.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right. No,
yeah.
This was just a bad guess from our grandma, and it broke, I'm going to say, before 12 p.m. on December
25th. Oh, yeah, they were made with the same springs as, like, you know, ballpoint pens have in them. It is terrible. And Hammerhead was always my favorite action figure.
Yeah.
But Hammerhead, like, what did he do? Like, Han just walks into the place. He's like, boom, you're dead, Hammerhead. Like, come on, guys, it's Hammerhead. And would you know, years later, when they started, like, fleshing out all the stories for all the Cantina guys, Hammerhead turns out to be, like, kind of a monk. So he's, like, just in there, like, you know, just having a drink and calming down, being with his inner self. And Han Solo comes in and pops him in the head. And the part that's the best about this is Han Solo. This, what a weird place! The most Han Solo-y line ever. I think we can all agree.
I never get any less creeped out by that music, which means it's time for The Blotter Presents. Just a quick item this week. Netflix is making A Murderer. Which I'm pretty excited about, but they decided to, you know, Netflix it on December 18th. Guys, trying to run a website here. And also, that seemed sort of non-promising in terms of the, like, it's like the TV equivalent of burying a movie in March. Yeah. So I was like, you know, maybe this wanted to be the jinx, and the marketing department was like, nah, let's just turf it in the, during the holidays. I've only seen the one episode so far, but I am pleased that my fears were unrealized. It's very well built. I'm not necessarily sure it's going to be the next Paradise Lost or The Staircase, but it's very, very promising so far. Interesting case, compelling characters, the editing is good. And they're dropping it all in a whack on December 18th, and this guy and some of my esteemed colleagues are going to be covering it on Previously.tv, so if you were like, well, I don't know if this is going to be good, and I have to make a goose, blah, 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 like, make the time, watch it, come talk to us about it. I really love that between, like, Serial and The Jinx, that true crime, like, people are caring about it and making excellent product so that I don't have to watch Investigation Discovery and be like, oh, I've seen this 48 hours before, I'm depressed. So yeah, The Murderer, it's gonna be good.
All right, everybody, that music means it's time for the canon, in which an episode of a TV show is submitted for consideration into the Extra Hot Great Canon. Our guest Alan Sepinwall has today's show. Take it away, Alan.
All right, so a few years ago, I wrote a book called The Revolution Was Televised. It was edited by a very, very, very smart lady by the name of Sarah D. Bunting.
Oh,
thanks, Sarah. It dealt with the origins of 12 shows that helped build this new golden age of television, whatever we're calling it. And because Mad Men and Breaking Bad weren't over when the book was first published, I recently finished an updated edition in stores now, dealing with the ends of those shows, but also updating other chapters and including a new epilogue about the current state of TV.
And
now, my favorite part.
It's a new cover, and it is very attractive. Go out and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for helping me shamelessly shill. I appreciate it. So my favorite part of the revisions process was getting to interview a lot of the people who worked on Breaking Bad about the episode I'm submitting to the canon, Ozymandias, which is the third to last episode of the series and perhaps the one it should have ended on. Though the previous episode ended with a firefight in the desert between Hank, Gomez, and Uncle Jack and the Nazis, Ozymandias opens with a flashback to Walt and Jesse's very first meth cook in the same spot. This was actually the very last scene of the series to be filmed because Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul had to shave their beards for it, and it's simultaneously fun to see them as we first met them and really tragic because we know that this moment is going to lead to all the horrors that follow, including the events of this episode. After the opening credits, we're back in the present, moments after the firefight ended. Gomez is dead, Hank is wounded badly in the leg, Jesse's hiding under Walt's car, and Walt is pleading with Jack to spare Hank's life, which leads us to our first clip.
That's a hell of an offer. What do you think, Fed? Would you take that deal?
It's Hank. His name is Hank.
How about it, Hank? Should I let you go?
My name is Asak Schrader. You can go fuck yourself.
Hank, listen to me. You gotta tell him. You gotta tell him now that we can work this out. Please. Please.
What? You want me to beg? You're the smartest guy I ever met. And you're too stupid to see. He made up his mind 10 minutes ago. What you're gonna do.
In the broadcast, they muted Hank's F-bomb, but his death is incredibly powerful even without that. Then somehow things get even worse, and I want you to get used to that phrase as we move through the rest of the hour. In begging for Hank's life, Walt inadvertently revealed that this is where he buried his entire fortune. Everything that Hank died for, everything that so many other people died and suffered for, everything that drove a wedge between Walt and his family, and now the Nazis are just gonna take all of it. As a favor to Todd, who is, as always, the worst, Jack not only leaves Walt alive, but leaves him with a single barrel full of cash as a pity offering. As they're about to drive away, Walt realizes he needs someone on whom to take out all of his impotent rage, and as usual, the nearest and easiest victim happens to be Jesse Pinkman, whose hiding place he gives up to the Nazis. Then somehow things get even worse, as we hear in our next clip.
Let's go, pal.
No!
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 Wait! I watched Jane die. I was there. And I watched her die. I watched her overdose and choke to death. I could have saved her. But I didn't.
For years, Breaking Bad fans had wondered when and how the secret of Jane's death would come out. Would Walt admit to it by accident? Confess it out of feelings of guilt? Instead, it comes out because Walter White is a cruel, petty son of a bitch who can never, ever accept the blame for the many things that are entirely his fault, and who therefore tells Jesse this monstrous secret out of pure spite. Then somehow things get even worse for Jesse, who gets savagely beaten, chained up in the Nazis' compound, and Todd makes him into his meth slave. Meanwhile, Walt's car won't start because of all the bullet holes the Nazis put in it while they were killing Hank and Gomez, so he has to roll the barrel of cash through the desert, right past the pair of khaki pants that he lost way back in the series premiere. He uses some of the cash to buy an old pickup truck, which he drives home right as Skyler, Holly, and Walter Jr., who has just been let in on the secret of Heisenberg by Skyler and Marie, both of whom believe Hank has successfully arrested Walt, are returning. They're not expecting to see him there, let alone covered in dirt and ordering them to pack a bag and leave the house forever, and Skyler's smart enough to know that something very bad has happened to Hank, which brings us to our next clip.
Walt. Why are you here?
Skyler, please, will you just go get your things for you and the kids right now? This is our priority.
Hank had you in custody. He wouldn't just let you go. Where is he? Where's Hank?
I negotiated.
Negotiated?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means we're fine, okay? We are. We're fine. Everything is going to be fine, but we need to leave right now, all right? Can we do that?
What happened? Where is Hank?
Why do we need to leave?
I need both of you to trust me right now, okay? Please just work with me here, and I promise I will explain everything later, okay?
Where is Hank?
Skyler. I have $11 million in cash right outside. We can have a fresh start. Whole new lives. All we have to do is go. We have to go right now. That's all we have to do.
You killed him. You killed Hank.
What?
No.
You killed
no,
him.
No! I tried to save him!
Uncle Hank is dead. Hey, Mom, it can't be
Stop,
true.
Please,
it just can't
please.
Be true.
Everything is going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. I promise you, but we need to leave right now.
Now, most of the big stuff that happens next is visual. Skyler has her Lady or the Tiger moment where she could either call the cops or grab a carving knife, and she very smartly does the latter because the last time she called the cops on Walt, it did not go well. Even with a large knife being waved at him, Walt can't stop spinning his usual bullshit because that's all he ever does, and Skyler finally takes all of her rage out on him and slashes him in the hand, leading to an ugly brawl that left me convinced that Skyler was going to die right there with her son watching in frozen terror, because that's the kind of episode this had turned out to be. Instead, Walter Jr. forces himself to move, knocks his father away from his mother, and leans in front of her like a human shield as Walt glares at them in disbelief, which brings us to our fourth clip.
What the hell is wrong with you? We're a family! We're a family. What are you doing?
Yeah, I need the police. My dad, he pulled a knife on my mom. He attacked her. He's dangerous. I think he might have killed somebody. Yeah. He's still here. Yeah, he's still in the house.
This is the single most important moment of the series, the one the show has been building to for 50-plus episodes. Walt has been telling himself and everyone else who will listen that he's done all of this for his family, and for the first time, he finally sees his family seeing him for the monster that he really is, and he can't lie to himself anymore. Then somehow things get even worse. While Walter Jr. is talking to the cops, Walt scoops up Holly, hops in the pickup, and pulls out of the driveway, while Skyler screams and chases after him before she falls to her knees in the middle of the street, in agony and utter disbelief at all that Walt has done to and taken from her. When next we see Walt, he's changing Holly's diaper in a gas station bathroom, where the little baby playing Holly improvises like a champ and says, "Mama." And Bryan Cranston improvises right back in response as Walt realizes he not only has to return Holly to her mama, but do whatever he can to mitigate Skyler's role in Heisenberg's empire. Somehow, even though he's about to do something resembling what's right, things get even worse, as we hear in our final clip.
Walt, where's Holly?
Are you alone? No police?
No. No police. Where are you? Where's Holly? Walt!
What the hell is wrong with you? Why can't you do one thing, I say?
What?
This is your fault. This is what comes of your disrespect. I told you, Skyler. I warned you for a solid year. You cross me, there will be consequences. What part of that didn't you understand?
You took my child.
Because you need to learn.
You bring her back.
Maybe now you'll listen. Maybe now you'll use your damn head. You know, you never believed in me. You were never grateful for anything I did for this family.
Oh, no. Walt, you have to stop. You have to stop this. It's immoral. It's illegal. Someone might get hurt.
You're always whining and complaining about how I make my money, just dragging me down while I do everything. And now? Now you tell my son what I do? After I've told you and told you to keep your damn mouth shut. You stupid bitch. How dare you?
I'm sorry.
You have no right to discuss anything about what I do. What the hell do you know about it anyway? Nothing. I built this. Me alone. Nobody else.
You're right.
You mark my words, Skyler. Toe the line, or you will wind up just like Hank.
The rant is ugly and hateful, and I've only excerpted a small portion of it. What makes it so powerful is that while Walt is doing this to give Skyler deniability with the cops, there is clearly a lot of ugly truth in what he's saying, because all of his most successful lies on the show have started with something that really happened or something Walt really believes. And as great as Bryan Cranston is here, as great as he's been throughout the episode, the real knockout is Anna Gunn, who shows you Skyler shifting from desperation to disgust to understanding and then back to disgust as she realizes what Walt is trying to do for her, but also how real his emotions are. Walt leaves Holly outside a firehouse, knowing they'll get her home safely, and the last scene of the episode is Walt sitting by the Arroyo Canyon Spillway Dam, whose design makes it look like a cemetery, with the barrel of money that is the only reward he has left for all his sins, before Saul's disappearance expert Ed pulls up and drives Walt off for parts unknown. The night before this episode aired, I wound up in the emergency room with appendicitis, and my appendix ruptured before they could get it out. So I watched Ozymandias for the first time in a hospital bed, high on painkillers, IV antibiotics feeding into my arm, and in no shape to watch, let alone write about, what would turn out to be not only the greatest episode of Breaking Bad, but what I would call the greatest hour of drama in TV history. And yet, I think being high and in deep discomfort was the exact right way to first experience the episode, because the whole hour is so hardcore, so unrelenting, and so much a summation of everything that had happened on the series to that point that I had to keep convincing myself that something in the episode had really happened, as opposed to me hallucinating it because they had me on all the good drugs. Even when watched in the sober light of day, Ozymandias is too much of a stomach churner to qualify as fun viewing, but it's not only the end result of the story Breaking Bad had been telling for 5 seasons, but an encapsulation of everything TV drama had shown itself to be capable of to this point. It brings together every story and character arc in the most honest, if usually tragic, way. It showcases these great actors and characters in ways that are possible only because we've known them for so long. Every frame of it is gorgeously shot by Rian Johnson. The script by Moira Wally Beckett gives every character a big dramatic moment, even Walter Jr. And it never fails to leave me feeling sick when I get to the end of it, and not just because I'm flashing back to that night in the hospital. In fact, it's so great and so true to the spirit of the show that I would argue it's where the series should have ended. And you know who kind of agrees with me? Vince Gilligan! When I interviewed him for the book, he said there's a very good argument to be made for ending it when everyone's story is at their absolute lowest point, with our last image of Walt being him slinking away with a sad little barrel to go die alone somewhere far, far away from here. And the only real argument he makes for the last two episodes, which I think are also very good, but definitely anticlimactic after what happens here, is that scene in the actual finale where Walt finally says out loud to Skyler that he did this all because he liked it and it made him feel good. I chose this for the canon as an excuse to shamelessly plug the book, but also because it's amazing and is absolutely deserving of inclusion, in my opinion. So now I leave it to you.
Which book is that, Alan?
The Revolution Was Televised, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah.
Available where books are sold everywhere.
Right. Yes.
I'll go first.
Flawlessly punctuated, or so I have read.
I'll go first because I also think that this should have been the last episode of the series, and said so at the time, and people said I was crazy, including someone in this very room, David T. Cole. Mm. You're right. You can't really say that you like this episode because it's horrible. Horrible things happen to everybody. But I admire its storytelling, of course, especially getting to that point that you described where Walt finally sees himself as his family sees him and starts to get an idea that the lie that he's been telling himself this whole time, in fact, is a lie, that he isn't doing this for his family at all, and they are, in fact, now terrified of him because he's not a good person and has put all of them in serious danger. But I also like the idea of, if it had ended here, I mean, there would have been people who would have said, you can't stop it without knowing what happens to him, because then there's the possibility, you know, that you could tell, you as a viewer, you could talk yourself into the idea that he just went and set up another meth lab and started over again and he was fine. Or, you know, there's a universe where he got to end up on a beach saying, I could get used to this, like all the jokes on Comedy Bang Bang whenever Bob Odenkirk is on. And so I get the idea that, you know, a producer wanted to like put a period on the end of Walter's story and have it be clear that he does not prosper. But I also kind of like the open-endedness of this, and you know, he's going to a place you don't know where, you just know he's not going to be happy, and that he brought this all on himself, and now he knows it for definitely the first time ever. Anyway, this is a flawless episode and an excellent submission, and thank you for letting us watch it again. Dave.
I just want to say that Breaking Bad, I think its legacy moving forward is going to be my personal litmus test on whether you understand television and how things work or not, whether you celebrate Walter White or you realize that he is this monster. Like, I know, like, that is such like a thing that I encounter again and again with, now that we're dealing with sort of like the fan echoes of a series now, yeah, that's been off air, that like it, the Scarface, mm-hmm, sort of yeah, attribute of it, that is very useful to me, that when I start talking about quality television shows and it does come around to Breaking Bad and exactly what their take is, it is like such a perfect way to understand what this person is about in like 10 seconds and whether or not to excuse yourself from the room and never come back.
I totally agree, particularly with the take on Sky at times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
It gets ugly.
Out, yeah. Like,
yes. Oh yeah. A truth has been revealed about, mm-hmm, you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I think I was probably just craving absolute closure when I said that, Tara, about the, you know, like disagreeing with you at the time. And I do remember that, that you said that should have been the finale. That's a perfect place to end it. And, you know, I just wanted to absolutely know, you know, because I have a really vivid imagination, guys. And I could have
on that man's grave.
We could have Shawshanked the end of that one easy in my mind. But you're totally right. I mean, this would work perfectly fine as the end. There's no reason why, you know, they need to have that closure. The one thing I liked about the end arc, though, is that the bad guys are just like grunts. They're like nothing special. He had that moment with Gus Fring where his empire crested. And this is all about the personal revelation of his personal downfall.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a triumph over somebody else. It's like a failure, a personal failure. And I think like that was such a good choice. Why this episode hits home. You're exactly right, Alan, is because Walter White likes to, he's like, you know, he's the frog in that pot of water where he can fool himself for a long time.
Yep.
And this is the episode where, oh shit, I'm actually boiling. And for the series to have ended on that note would have been perfectly fine with me. And I like the fact that Vince Gilligan says, yeah, that would have worked too. Powerhouse episode. You're right. Everybody gets a moment. The one thing I didn't quite understand is how much advanced planning the Nazis did with their dog chain meth lab slave setup. Like, that's not a small bit of engineering.
Seemed like they were just waiting for someone to fall in their clutches.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a thing? Is that like every you know, a drug outfit worth their weight has?
Dave, I'll take my answer offline.
Dave, you know the Nazi motto is be prepared, right?
That's right. You're right.
It's very strange and uncomfortable when you think
about it. Yeah, no, you're right, Joe.
And can't really see it, but it's tattooed inside their swastika neck tattoos.
And with that word of wisdom, I pass it on to you, Joe.
One of the interesting things about this episode was when this set of, it was seven episodes to end this?
Yeah,
series?
I think so.
Right?
Eight.
It was divided in half?
Oh, eight.
Okay. When this set of episodes was announced and the titles and the writers, directors, names were sort of leaked out several weeks before these episodes aired. And I remember the sense of anticipation for this episode based purely on the fact that Rian Johnson was directing it and that Ozymandias was the title. And everyone's like, oh, that sounds big. Like, that sounds like some shit's going to go down. And we were all right. And yeah, it's a fantastic episode. I think to the point of whether this could have been a series finale or not, I like the ambiguity of it. I'm sort of, that appeals to me. Alan, what you said, Vince Gilligan said about his reason not to have it be that way, is to have Walt end on that moment of pure selfishness, which is, I actually do agree with that, because I feel like if it had ended at Ozymandias, all the great things about that, the one thing that would have nagged at me was people would have been like, oh, but see, Walt in the end, he may have been a jerk, but he saved Skylar because he's a good family man. It's like,
right.
No. Walt's an asshole, and I did like that sort of dancing on his grave aspect of the finale a little bit, but that's me. Good shout out to Baby Holly's improv skills. That's still the best baby acting I've seen in anything. And Alan, it was interesting how you mentioned during the scuffle with the knife how you were certain that Skylar was going to die. I could not have been more certain that Junior was going to somehow catch that blade and it would be this sort of Godfather Part 3, tragedy or whatever. I'm not saying I wanted it to be that way, but I was watching it again. I was reminded that shot of Skylar and Walter scuffling and the knife is sort of in center frame and Junior is right behind it. And I was like, oh, shit. And I remember watching at the time, it was like, oh, they're going to kill that kid. It's going to be awful. That didn't happen. There was one other thing I wanted to mention now.
That's the thing about that show, though, is that it totally could. It could have gone any of those ways. Like, there's no one is safe in that universe.
Like, 99% sure they're not going to kill a baby, but there's that 1%.
But you don't know.
Like, you don't know.
They poisoned a kindergartner.
I've seen a man's face fall off in front of me. So.
I'll get it.
There he is right now. That's fucked
up. And his optic nerve.
That's Tio Salamanca hitting the bell. The moment where, before the knife scuffle, where Walt just goes, or no, it's right after, right? When he goes, we're a family, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And I, just that moment of allowing a little bit of lunacy and allowing the audience to laugh a little bit during what was otherwise like a dramatic and awful and bleak, awful being, you know, what happens to the characters and bleak hour, sums up a lot of what I like about Breaking Bad, that I think they never quite lost sight of the fact that people were watching these as entertainment too. So acknowledge that, work, you know, work around that, work with that and against that in interesting ways. But I liked that moment of just like, we're going to give you this moment of release, because it's really incredibly funny the way Cranston delivers that line. Where it's just like, oh my God, so much has happened. Yeah, it's a fantastic episode.
I probably shouldn't have gone last. I am not as fond of this episode as the rest of you. I don't dislike it, but it just made me think about this show as a whole. And this is not to say anything about the show's like relative quality at all. Actually, it's like a totally, we're discussing it along a different axis when I say this, but it is not particularly rewatchable to me at all. It's not because the subject matter is difficult, although it was in this episode and it was like very heavy. But there's something about this world and these characters for me that once I got to the end, I was done.
Yeah.
I didn't need to go back. Keeping in mind, Better Call Saul is like my favorite new show of 2015.
Yeah.
But Breaking Bad per se, like I got to the end of it and I was like, I'm glad I did that. It was an acting tour de force. It was beautifully shot. Michael Slovis is a genius. I am done.
You know what show that is for me? Guess, yes. And you'll be angry.
Sopranos.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
totally fair, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah,
not
no, I get it. Totally
for
get
me.
It.
Like, Sopranos yeah. is like comfort watching, but
yep.
I understand that some people you're just like, okay, I understand why everyone thinks this is great, but it doesn't like, you're not taking it with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just me. Also just me, like, I did find the whole opening scene in the desert, like, it begins so beautifully with the time lapse and things disappearing, and then later on you have the pants, and it's, like, so well done, and it looks beautiful. But then, you know, I just, like, I didn't buy that anybody would have walked out of there who wasn't a Nazi, or rolled a barrel out of there. Like, I don't believe it. Everybody would be dead. There was a little bit of, actors, director, pacing going on. That's like, you know, at this point, I'm aware that Bryan Cranston can do this.
Yeah.
I know what the character is. I think the first time through, this wasn't an issue, but it did sap a little bit of the episode's power for me. With that said, I do think it should have been the series finale, but I'm the one who's like, end of The Sopranos was fucking genius. So
yeah.
I think at the time, Vince Gilligan absolutely didn't want to have to put up with the bullshit
with
David Chase had been
yes.
totally
listening to for however many years, and was like, I will do anything to avoid that, including like a God's eye shot of someone declaring him dead.
Right.
Like, I am not having this, the Russian conversation for the
decapitating
next 15
him.
Years.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I am not actually, I came in like pretty sure I was going to vote no, but I think that, now I'm less sure. Like, I just, this is like in the abstract a great piece of television, but I'm not sure that's enough for me to vote it into the canon. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's, you know, I'm glad I got to watch it again. It did raise a lot of interesting questions for me about the relative, like, continuing watchability of shows and whether that should be a factor in this decision-making
mm-hmm.
process. And
yeah.
once again, this is not a court proceeding, so why don't we just do it? See what
right.
happens.
Stay tuned. In about 30 seconds, you will find out
suspense!
The answer. All right, Tara, what vote you?
Oh, yay, of course.
I vote yes as well. Joseph Reed?
I vote yes.
All right, here's a moment you all been waiting for. Sarah D. Bunting?
I vote plaid. Just kidding. I vote yes.
All right, Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 14, that is finale, Ozymandias, you are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
All right, everybody, it's time for Winner and a Loser of the Week. Tara has our winner.
Winner is Abigail Breslin, because besides being the worst thing about Scream Queens, she's supposedly going to be playing the female lead in ABC's remake / unnecessary remake of Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
I don't care for this casting one tiny bit, but good for her, I guess.
When you say remake, do you mean a TV movie, or are they
yes.
making it into a series?
No, a TV movie.
Got it.
Three-hour TV movie.
Oh.
Because God forbid any of that amazing story get left out.
With
I mean,
unlimited commercial interruption, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And loser of the week?
Loser of the week is Eli Gold, as played by Alan Cumming on The Good Wife. Last 5 minutes of The Good Wife last night were a bit of a gut punch. Eli, just to give a little bit of backstory, because the little bit is exactly what they decided to give this character in the ramp up to this moment. Apparently, Eli discovered love in the last two episodes with
for a lady.
For a lady of all people. Yeah, with Vanessa Williams' character, and then she dumped him for
her job.
Emoji regions.
It
was just basically returning to her home planet. And so Eli's, tiny little heart grew three sizes that day and then broke. So in talking with Alicia, and he's already trying to patch things up with Alicia because he pissed her off because he allowed Jeffrey Dean Morgan to go away to Alaska or something. I don't know. Shut up, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. But in a fit of conscience, decided to admit to Alicia that he had heard that voice message from Will all those many seasons ago. And
it's the season one finale, right? Isn't that when it happens?
I was totally in favor of that action, by the way.
Oh, yeah. So now Eli feels incredibly guilty about it. And so he did the thing that you should never do, which is when you have a secret that will never, ever, ever come out and will only cause pain to people and nobody will ever know, you take that secret to your grave, my friend. And
especially since it's not like there's even anything she can do about it now. I guess I'll go call Will. Oh, wait, he's dead.
Right.
What's the point of telling her now? It's just selfishness.
It only causes her incredible. And so Juliana Margulies gets to have that moment where she waits a billion years to let the effect sink in, and then she grabs his glass of scotch and then tells him to get out. So it was big. It was tough to watch because I like Eli so much, and I was just like, "Oh, Eli, bad call." That wig is going to be real pissed at you.
Why can't she move to the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Then Eli and Bella,
Courtney. Luca.
Yes,
Luca. Yeah. Yeah, she's cool. I like her.
Then they can have a hangout of shingle.
I don't mind Alicia in general, but yeah, I think that character's been more interesting than her.
Well, that brings up an interesting question.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, and that is this. What could last up to 44 minutes, and then at the end of it, you stand a good chance also to be gutted? It's game time! All right, it's game time. This is the seventh game time of the season. The season goes until someone gets 5 points. The standings are, as of this moment, Tara has 3, Joe has 2, Value Guests, who Alan is playing for today, have 1 point, and Sarah is looking to get on the board. Today we are playing Brother from Another Mother Show from Emma, who earns herself an extra credit. Redeemable for an extra hot, great mini topic of her choosing. All right. So in Brother from Another Mother Show, I will read two groups of siblings from two different TV shows. 1 point for correctly identifying both shows involved. And another point if you identify the actor who played their mother or father in both shows. All right. So you're going to have two sets of siblings from two different shows.
Yep.
You got to name the actor that played their parent in both of their shows.
Okay.
All
right. We got 44 questions plus a tiebreaker if we need it. Let's throw it to Picky to see who's going to go first.
We will start with Sarah.
All right. So let's go Sarah, Alan, Joe, Tara. Are we ready to play Brother from Another Mother Show?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Sarah. Ah, I screwed up the listings. I've now... Picky has late news, guys. What he meant to say was Joe, Alan, Tara, Sarah.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll get super confused.
Joe, Alan, Tara, Sarah.
Joe.
Okay.
Yes.
Claire Dunphy and Mitchell Pritchett. Kelly and Bud Bundy. Those are your two pairs of siblings. I need to know the TV shows and the parent actor.
TV shows are Modern Family and Married with Children. The common actor is Ed O'Neill.
And that's 2 points, and that's how you play this game. All right, Alan. Rory Gilmore. Set number 2, Amber and Drew Holt.
Okay, that's Gilmore Girls and Parenthood, and the Parenthood comment is Lauren Graham.
You are correct, sir. Tara Ariana.
Yeah.
Michael, Lindsay, Buster, for example, they're Bluths, and Sterling Archer.
The shows are Arrested Development and Archer, and the parent is Jessica Walter.
That is also good for 2 points. Sarah, DJ, Stephanie, and Michelle Tanner, plus Penny and Luke Mosby. The shows and the actor. Now, the nice thing about this game is you get little pieces and clues where you can kind of fill in the rest, perhaps, if you know some of them.
Yeah, it's interesting how that's not really working for me this time. Once again, Picky, fucking me sideways with fire ants. You're welcome. The first show is Full House. I don't know the second show, and I don't know the parent in common.
All right, so that's 0 points. It was Full House, How I Met Your Mother, the parent actor Bob Saget.
I have never watched a frame of that show, and I still fucking hate it. Me during game time. Moving on.
All right. Back to Joe. John Connor plus Joffrey and Tommen Baratheon. Thank you. I watched that show, stumbled over it.
Still don't know it. Okay. That's okay. What was the title of it, though? Not Terminator Salvation. Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles. And Game of Thrones are the shows. And the actor is Lena Headey, however we pronounce it.
Yeah, we'll give you that.
That
is 2 points. Back to Alan. Julie Taylor plus Violet Harmon.
Julie Taylor plus Violet Harmon. I'm going to... Friday Night Lights, I'm going to guess the other one is Nashville, and the parent in common is Connie Britton.
All right, you got 1 point there. That's Friday Night Lights and American Horror Story. And Connie.
Ah.
Oh.
Half points on that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, Bloodlines? Yes.
Penelope Widmore.
Uh-huh.
Plus Danielle and Alexis Mead.
Oh.
Danielle. Not Danielle.
Oh, yeah, what'd I say? Danielle. Sorry. Danielle and Alexis Mead.
Okay, the shows are Lost and Ugly Betty. And his name is Alan Dale.
Nice.
Good
it's
save.
Like Alan Watt, but that's someone totally different.
All right, Sarah. Nate, David, and Claire Fisher, plus Barney and James Stinson.
Shut up, Joe.
Sorry. I'm really trying here.
So that's 6 Feet Under and How I Met Your Mother. And the actor... Oh, Jesus. It's Richard. Someone. Fuck. I don't know the actor.
Wrong one. Francis Conroy.
Oh.
Mother.
Right, well, just as well. Sorry, guy who was in The Visitor.
Joseph X. Reed. Thank you. Dawson, yes. Leary plus Barry Allen.
Ah.
Really?
Dawson's Creek and The Flash are the shows. And Flash's name, Old Flash, is from the rumors you've heard on the internet. His name is John Wesley Shipp.
Yes, it is.
Nice pull.
Nice pull. All right, Alan. Kyle Valenti plus Sharon Aaron and Jay Tyler.
Kyle Valenti, Sharon Aaron, and Jay Tyler. I know none of those names.
Anybody? Anybody know any of that?
No.
I know who Kyle Valenti is.
Okay,
Kyle
who?
Valenti's from Roswell.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. And then the dad from Roswell is Adam Sadler.
Yeah. Well,
and he's also the dad from Wonderfalls.
What was it that Dan Blau Rogi used to call Sadler in his Roswell recaps? Sheriff Porno?
Yes. Yep. That sounds right.
Needed to shoehorn that in there.
Sure you did.
Dixon and Annie Wilson plus Alex and Nikki Katsopoulos.
Okay. What were the first ones?
Dixon and Annie Wilson.
Oh, this is 90210 Remake and Full House, and the mom in common is Lori Loughlin.
You are correct.
Nicely done.
Yep.
Sarah. Here it is. This is a How I Met Your Motherless question. Aria and Mike Montgomery plus Wyatt and Chris Hollowell.
Wyatt and Chris?
Yeah. Hollowell? Alleywell. Hollowell.
Okay, well,
Know any part of that?
Well, I think that I don't know the. I only know Charmed, so I'm gonna have to guess at the other mom, who must have been Holly Combs, Marie Combs.
That's good for one point. You want to take a guess at the other show?
Sure, don't.
Picket Fences?
Pretty Little Liars.
Oh. I guess she was still a teenager on Picket Fences. Yeah.
Okay, Joe.
Yes.
Kurt Hummel plus Molly Yodler. Yoder.
How do we spell that?
Yoder, I guess. Yoder? Yeah, all right. Y-O-D-E-R.
It's a fine question, English.
Okay. All right.
I really wanted that to be Yodler in my head.
Mike O'Malley is the actor. So Kurt Hummel's from Glee. I'm going to guess the other one is... What the fuck was that show? Yes, Dear? Was he Yes, Dear?
He was.
Welcome to the Family.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that the Rob Schneider one? That. Is that what that is?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let's see.
No, the Rob Schneider one is
the NBC show that lasted a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. The other one.
Oh, I actually saw the pilot of that one. Yeah. Oof.
Okay, Alan, this is going to take us into our first score break. Maya Gallo plus Beverly Goldberg.
Maya Gallo and Beverly Goldberg. Oh, George Segal, the Goldbergs, Just Shoot Me.
You nice. Are correct, Whoa. Sir.
Wow. All are right. you sure it's a score break now? Because we're in the
is
middle
the,
of a round.
Is it the next one? Oh,
yeah,
you know what?
Player.
I just started a new round, so we'll do it at the end of this. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, Sarah is the end of the one.
Yes. So next is me.
She sure is.
Moving on.
Yep.
Whitley Gilbert plus Preston Burke.
I have no idea.
Joe faces are happening.
Anybody?
It's a different world in something.
Yep.
Grey's Anatomy.
Yep.
Oh.
Diane Carroll.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, Sarah.
Yeah.
That was, okay, so this will be our score break. Yes, this will be our score break. George Costanza and Carrie Heffernan. George Costanza plus
Seinfeld and the King of Queens.
That was good for a point.
The actor is Jerry Stiller.
That is good for 2 points. Nice. All right, now.
Okay. Very, very close game. Sarah has 4, Alan has 5, I have 6, Joe has 7.
All right.
Nice.
So we're back to Joe.
Yes.
Temperance Brennan plus Teddy Montgomery.
Okay. Well, Temperance Brennan is Bones, I'm pretty sure, but Lord knows who plays her parent. What's the other name?
Teddy Montgomery, which is a real name, apparently.
Teddy Montgomery.
Sounds like some English toy from 1927.
That was one of my school's headmaster's name.
Really?
Yeah, actually, he went by Ted.
Oh, boy.
Quite. Temperance and Teddy.
I'm in the weeds on this. I don't know.
Anybody? Bones was correct.
Ryan O'Neal plays her dad, right?
Yep. Ryan O'Neal's the dad. The other show, 90210 remake.
Oh.
Yep. Oh.
Okay.
Why does that
Mr. Steppenwall. Jax
yes.
Teller plus Stephen Hyde. Jax with an X plus Stephen
okay,
Hyde.
Well, that's Sons of Anarchy and that 70s show. Who played Hyde's... Katie Seagal?
You are correct, sir.
Well done.
Wow.
Nice. All right, Tara.
Yep.
Chandler Bing.
Uh-huh.
And Devin Woodcomb. Devin Woodcomb.
I don't know what the second show is, and I'm going to guess Kathleen Turner?
Wrong
Damn
way.
It.
As Friends and Chuck.
Okay.
And the
it's
mother
the other one, Morgan,
is Fairchild.
Morgan Fairchild. Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah, Devin Woodcomb is Captain Awesome.
Oh, it's just guessing.
All right, Sarah.
Yep.
Lindsay and Sam Weir plus Hannah Horvath. Horvath.
Okay, so that's Freaks and Geeks and Girls. And this actor actually has played a defense attorney on some Law and Order.
Sure has.
It's red hair and it's probably
she's great.
Named Deborah, and I don't remember her last name.
Becky Ann Baker.
Mrs. Dylan Baker.
Joe. Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Yes, really. Yes.
She's Dylan That's Baker's wife.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of ginger.
All right. Last name.
They were both Karen's parents on Smash.
They sure were.
Last name checks out. Your story checks out. Liz Weston. This is for Joe. Ooh, Ellie yes. Faison and Zoe Bartlett. Yep. Plus Alicia Florek.
Okay, so this is Stalker Channing, and the shows are The West Wing and The Good Wife.
That's a gimme for Joe, if ever there was one. That's Alan, right. Nathan and yep. Peter Petrelli, plus Cooper Friedman.
All right, well, Nathan and Peter Petrelli are from Heroes. Christine Rose played their mom. And what was the other name?
Cooper Friedman.
What other show has Christine Rose been a mom on? Picket Fences is the only thing I remember seeing her in before Heroes, so I'll guess say that.
Well, she was Ted's mom on How I Met Your Mother.
Private
oh,
Practice.
Oh, yeah, damn it.
The answer is Private Practice.
Oh, Private Practice, sure.
Yeah. John, Tara.
Yeah.
Your favorite.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. John Ralphio.
Uh-huh.
And Mona Lisa Saperstein.
Right.
Plus Hank and Evan Lawson.
That would be Parks and Recreation and Royal Pains, my other favorite, Henry Aww. Winkler.
Henry Winkler, the common dad, correct. All right, Sarah.
You.
Ilana and Elliot Wexler, plus Phoebe Ursula Frank Jr. Buffet.
I don't know any of these.
All right, Tara.
I mean, I know one of the shows.
Yeah, one of them is Friends, but I don't know anything else.
It's Bob Balaban and Girls.
Oh.
Broad City.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Fitzgerald yes. Grant, uh-huh. Valerie and Holly Tyler.
Oh, who played his bad dad on Scandal? Scandal's Fitzgerald Grant, obviously. Hate him. Raped Melly. It was really terrible. What are the other names?
Valerie and Holly Tyler.
I don't know those names at all. I'm out.
Anybody?
Is it Barry Bostwick?
Barry Bostwick.
Yep. And the other show was What I Like About You.
If wow. you say so.
Okay.
Nothing now.
Mr. Seppenwall, Buffy Go. And Dawn Summers, Deborah Parker.
Okay, that's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh, God, that's in my goddamn book, and I'm blanking on the actress's name.
What book's that?
The Revolution was televised. I'll get in the plug, but I'm not going to get the point because I'm blanking on whoever played Joyce.
Oh.
Anybody know the actor?
No idea.
Christine Sutherland.
Christine Sutherland.
Oh, you guys!
Sarah might know the other show.
Nope.
It's your good friend Poehead and The Following.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wait, God. She was in The Following?
Yep.
Mm.
She was Deborah Parker's mom.
Hmm.
Whoever Who? She is. Deborah Parker.
That might have been Agent Annie Paris who was buried alive. Comes up again.
Hooray! Lexi Gray.
Yep.
Lily Rush. Lexi Gray plus Lily Rush. Those are the two fakest sounding names I've heard in my whole life.
Well, Lexi Gray is Grey's Anatomy, but I don't. All of those people have seven parents each, so I have no idea who it is or really what the other show is.
The other
Joe?
Show.
Baxter.
No,
oh, it is?
Mayor Winningham's her mom.
Mayor Winningham is.
Jim Perry's her dad.
Yeah.
Lily Rush of Cold Case.
Okay.
Cold Case.
I was wondering if Lily Rush was the baby that Jeff Perry has in Scandal that nobody
oh, right.
talks about anymore.
Oh,
all right.
It's like eight now.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bringing us into our second score break. Joan Holloway Harris plus Eli James.
What's the second Joan? Name again?
Eli James.
Well, it's Mad Men and something I'm going to be mad at myself for. Firefly?
Yeah. No.
The actor is Firefly.
Christine something?
Yeah.
Easterbrook?
Easterbrook.
That's it.
Yeah, and The Ghost Whisperer was the second show.
Sure. So,
all right.
Oh, I don't think you need to be mad at yourself for not knowing The Ghost
Definitely
Whisperer.
Not.
No,
all right,
I don't.
Tara, let's hear
fact,
them
I'm
scores.
I'm quite proud.
Still very tight game. Sarah has 5. Alan and I each have 8. Joe has 9.
All right.
Ooh.
Everybody has a number of questions left. I'm going to say 3 or 4 by the looks of it. Whoops. Nope. All right. Joe.
Tongue, tongue.
Lily Vanderwoodson. Lily Vanderwoodson plus yes. David Silver. There's a name I recognize.
Lily Vanderwoodson and David Silver have a parent in common, huh?
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Gossip Girl and Beverly Hills 90210.
It's a 1 point, he says, like Mario for some reason.
I don't remember the names of the actors of David's parents, even though I can picture one, if not both of them. So, about
anybody?
It's the mom, but I don't
Matthew
remember her
Lawrence
name.
Matthew Lawrence or Mitchell Lawrence?
It's not him, it's the mom.
Caroline Lagerfeld.
And that's Matthew, in case you care. Mitchell's duets.
All right.
This has been 2 to grow on.
Alan, Tyler Lockwood plus Lydia Martin.
Tyler Lockwood and Lydia Martin.
From white people and more white people.
Well, I'm going to guess Benson and Benson in a fine game time tradition.
Unfortunately, as much as I would like that to be true.
Wolf?
Yes. No. Tyler is Teen Wolf.
You're asking us?
Okay.
Unless this got transposed, but Tyler Lockwood corresponds to Vampire Diaries, and Lydia Martin is Teen Wolf. The mother...
It's Mulva. Yeah.
Susan Walters.
Oh, yeah.
Susan Walter, yeah.
Mulva from Seinfeld, yep.
Tara Ariano.
Yes.
Allison and Jason De Laurentiis. Lost my place. Kara Solders.
Nope, I do not know. Any of those, any part of any of it.
Yeah, you never got this one anyways. Pretty Little Liars, Red Band Society.
Oh, sure.
Andrea Parker. I would like to say this game's been in my inbox for a while.
Oh, Andrea Parker from...
The Pretender.
Yes!
This game might actually...
like last pilot season's game.
Yeah, I was going to say, this game might have been in my inbox since Red Band Society was on the air.
Andrea Parker,
thereafter.
Her generation's Charisma Carpenter.
Sarah, Vivian Scully plus Jacob and the Man in Black. Vivian Scully plus Jacob and the Man in Black.
I don't. What? I don't know.
All right. Anybody know those? Tara, do you know the first one?
It's Alice
I don't.
And Janney.
Alice and Janney was the mother of Jacob and the Man in Black.
Oh, and Masters of Sex.
Yep.
Oh, right.
Vivian Scully
of course.
From Masters of
Sex.
Oh, and Vivian Scully is iZombie.
All right, Joe. Claire Bennett plus Caroline Forbes. Claire Bennett, and Carolyn Forbes.
This is really a... Wow.
Well, Claire Bennett is Heroes, and... Caroline Forbes?
Yep.
Is Vampire Diaries?
Hey!
Ooh. Eked out that point.
Nicely done.
And I can't remember now the name of horn-rimmed glasses. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Jack Coleman.
Mm.
Jack
Coleman. Oh, there we go.
All right. Everybody has, this is Alan, you got 3 questions, including this one left. Charlotte Charles plus Molly and Victoria Flynn. Charlotte Charles.
Charlotte Charles.
And
Molly
and Victoria
Flynn.
Flynn.
I feel like I should know at least one of these based on Tara's laugh of recognition.
No,
I
that was
nothing.
A laugh of what the fuck.
I got, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's not
Benson.
From... it is not from Benson. All right. Charlotte Charles from Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies, yeah.
Molly and Victoria Flynn from Mike and Molly. Susie Kirk.
Sure.
What a fun name.
Yep. It is a fun name.
Tara Ariano.
Yes.
Meg Manning plus George Altman. Meg Manning and George Altman are your characters sharing...
God.
Parent. What are the shows and what?
I don't know. George Altman is like right on the tip of my tongue, but I'm not, it's not coming up. I don't know. I got nothing.
It's that guy from Purgatory, I think, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, yeah. It is.
Yep, that's Veronica Mars and Suburgatory. Jeff Pearson.
Sure.
Yeah, Sarah D.
Oh, he was one of the presidents on 24.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Died in a plane crash.
Aww.
Who don't didn't? They all?
No, not all of them. Some get shot. Yes.
Piper Chapman plus Jerry Blank. And that's not a fill in the blank. That's her name.
No, yeah. Piper Chapman?
Correct.
Oh, I wish I knew who that was. I wish I remembered who played the mom on Strangers with Candy, but I don't have enough information. I don't know.
Piper Chapman, Orange is the New Black. Jerry Blank, Strangers with the Candy. The mother, Deborah Rush. Deborah Rush. All right, Joe.
Also from a great Law and Order episode.
Yeah. William Masters, Joe. William Masters plus Kim Kelly.
Oh, interesting. Okay, William Masters is Masters of Sex. Kim Kelly is definitely Freaks and Geeks. Okay. Don't know who played her mom. I'm not sure if we ever saw her dad, so don't know.
Anybody?
Ann Dowd, right?
Ann Dowd.
Ann Dowd.
No shit.
Wow.
Unrecognizable on Freaks and Geeks versus Masters of Sex.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
All right, Alan, here's one. I think the show answer is a give me. The question is, will you get the parent?
Liz Lemon.
A give me.
It's a very formal gimme.
What? A give me?
He said a give me.
Yes.
As opposed to a gimme, like a normal
person.
Which is
a weekend.
Well, give me is short for...
pardons, Governor.
Givtholomew. Me. Liz Lemon, Alan, plus Catherine Willows.
Liz Lemon and Catherine Willows. Okay, that's going to be 30 Rock and CSI.
Uh-huh.
And it's got to be whoever played Catherine's dad, because Catherine's... because Liz's dad was played by Buck Henry, who's not... Whoever played their mom, I have no idea.
Anita Gillette.
Yeah.
Anita Gillette. All right, Tara, here's your second last question.
Yeah.
Marissa Cooper plus Matt and Vicki Donovan.
Okay. It's the OC and Ray Donovan and followed by 7,000 question marks.
What is it?
It's another appearance from the Vampire Diaries.
Is it Tate Donovan?
It's Melinda Clark.
The other one!
All right, Sarah, here's your second to last question.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. John Locke and Nick... Andropolis.
Andopolis.
Andopolis?
Andopolis.
Thank you. Andopolis. Nick Andopolis.
I don't know who Nick Andopolis is. Oh, wait, do I?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was his last name. So I think it's Lost and Freaks and Geeks?
Yep. Whip. Yes. Wrong one. There you go. Sorry.
Get an extra ding. Maybe she'll...
There you go.
Oh, thanks, okay. Satan.
And do you know the do you know the actor involved?
I do not know the actor.
Anybody?
Recently tweeted by me that Neil McDonough is the this guy of his generation, Kevin Tai.
Yeah. Kevin Tai.
Yeah. Kevin Tai. All right.
Of course.
Former emergency star Kevin Tai.
He was also a really disgusting defendant.
Oh my God! On the Vixen Platinum episode. All right.
I can't believe I didn't pick him. Shit.
Still super close. Sarah has 6. I have 8. Alan has 9. Joe has 12.
All right. Let's play it. I think it's all wrapped up. But
yeah,
let's
I guess
do
it's
it.
Not that close. If we only have one question each.
Joe. Steven Wilde. Plus Pete Riggins. Keep in mind, you may have a Red Band Society type of answer coming up.
Steven Wilde?
Yeah.
And Pete Riggins?
Pete.
Pete.
Like Pete Popsicle Riggins. Pete.
Good old Pete Riggins.
Yeah.
Did Tim Riggins have a baby?
It'll be confusing because of the Riggins of it.
Yeah. I don't know Reagan's. These. I don't know these names. I'm sorry. I'm out.
Doesn't matter. You already won.
Anybody?
No.
Okay. Jeffrey Tambor. Bent is one of the shows. I couldn't hear the name of the person on the other one.
Oh, Stephen Wild.
Stephen
yeah.
Wild. Running Wild. Remember Running Wild?
Yeah, oh my with God. Will Arnett.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. No thanks.
All right, Alan, you're starting to break up, but let's see if we can get through it. Ally McBeal plus Patrick Caron, Brian Jeremy, and Juliet Darling.
Okay, wait.
Hold on.
Ally McBeal
hold on.
And Dirty
hold
Sexy
on.
Money.
Hold on. We're going to call you back because you're super breaking up. Just okay. keep recording. Don't.
Okay. Sure.
God, we got really far without having
we
said.
We did, yeah.
God, that's so much fucking...
We really powered through that first Cyloning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey,
hey
Alan.
Hey, can you hear me better now?
Nope. Oops. All right. I'm going to call you back in about a minute. Sometimes if you call right back, it doesn't help.
Okay.
If I flip, like, onto Wi-Fi and then off again, sometimes it... it probably does nothing. It's like pressing the elevator button and it makes me feel better.
Yep,
but I'm like,
totally. Yep.
I'm not looking up the answer in the meantime, I swear.
Like Kratos.
He was already answering correctly anyway.
Yeah. Ooh.
A lot of dumb deals happening.
Hello?
No! Ooh.
Damn it.
Nope, now that's even worse.
Alright, I'm gonna give it a.
Well,
I'm gonna
quit out of Skype and open it up back in again.
Yeah, you can try exiting
it's
Skype.
It's coming online for us now.
Oh, okay. Still
okay,
there?
Okay, I can keep talking. I can count to 10 if it sounds better as I'm counting.
No, I'm going
to
give it a couple minutes to call it back. Sorry, Alan.
Okay.
Best one of the year. We can do this,
yeah.
Team. Yeah. I'm so mad that my picky order got revoked. When I get to go first, I usually win.
Oh, is that true?
And I was like, finally, I can get on that. Well, yeah. I don't know why that is.
First worked out well for me this round, so that's... Yeah. I boned by double How I Met Your Mother's.
What's with all the 90210 reboot and heroes questions? Who is this person?
Well, a lot of 90210, a lot of Vampire Diaries, a lot of Pretty Little Liars, like...
I mean, I used to actually know Vampire Diary stuff, but I bailed after 2 seasons and it just kept...
Yeah, that one was a pure lucky guess because I was pretty
Marie
sure.
Celesting on.
Yeah.
Although they're, I think, trying to kill it.
Are they?
You're not
they're
dead.
Moving into Friday.
If he's still fucked up, we'll just go through it and just hope that his recording is...
Although on that network, I don't know.
Is the recording okay?
Yeah, I don't know
what's matter.
Yeah, I don't know what the... Or what the... Bear.
It is a barometer.
The barometer for success.
Meanwhile, what did Nina Dobrev quit to do?
Because it's not like she's... It seemed for a second like she was going to be in movies. And... Although, she ended up in this movie that I saw at the Toronto Film Festival that was very small. That was this, like, horror
movie. She's usually, like...
How about now?
No. All right, you know what, Alan? We're just going to... Since we're almost at the end, we're just going to... Go through. Is your thing still recording?
My thing is still recording, yeah.
Okay, so we'll just hope that your end is...
I can even type in what my answers are for this, and then I won't talk for the rest of the show.
No, that's fine. No, because...
It'll
like,
record
well,
you
We
fine.
Can understand you. It's just that...
Okay.
You're clearing up anyway, so... Okay.
All right,
so what I'm going to do is just give it a couple seconds, and I'll just start the Ally McBeal question again, okay?
Okay.
All right, Alan, here's your last question. Ally McBeal plus Patrick Caron, Brian Jeremy, and Juliet Darling.
All right, Ally McBeal is the first of those. Uh-huh. I'm going to guess Dirty Sexy Money is the second. All right, okay, and I'm going to guess the only parent I remember from either show is that Donald Sutherland was the dad on Dirty Sexy Money, so why not?
Jill Clayburgh.
Jill Clayburgh.
Damn it! I knew that.
Tara?
Yeah.
All right. Kill Moves. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Plus Bert Gus Guster.
What was that first name?
Kill Moves.
Kill
like,
Moves?
Yeah, Kill Moves. I gotta look this up.
Like
Into the
Mortal
Badlands and Smallville. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, no, it's a real character. Okay, confirmed.
And John Schneider, why not?
All right. Why not, indeed?
I do not know.
All right. Burton Gus Guster's from Psych.
Oh, right.
Kill Moves is a character from Everybody Hates Chris.
Okay.
Felicia Rashad. The mother in common.
Okay.
All right, Sarah, taking us home. Dickie Bennett plus Nathan Miller.
Nick Miller.
Okay.
Nathan. No, it's a different thing.
Okay. Nathan or Nick Miller.
All right,
Tara.
Never mind. Ignore
but
me.
I'm going to go with the question as stated.
Really, yeah, Tara, you're thinking of something else.
Okay,
we'll
never mind.
In a second.
Okay, so to repeat.
Yep.
Dick Bennett.
Benson,
Nathan Miller.
Benson and Benson. Bensmica.
Sorry.
Dickie Bennett, justified. Nathan Miller, the Millers, the mother. Anybody?
Margo Martindale, she farted on the Millers.
There you go. She farted on the Millers.
Was she also Nick Miller's mom, though, on New Girl?
I think so.
That's the only...
So that's really kind of funny.
That's the kind of commentary you only get when you get Alan Sepulveda on your podcast.
I remember when Margo Martindale farts.
Of the Revolution of Stella.
All right, let's hear the final scores, please, Tara.
Okay, Sarah had 6, I had 8, Alan had 10, Joe had 12. We really split it up nicely, guys.
Joe!
Wow, all right. Well, congratulations, Joe. Alan Sepulveda, where can the people read your stuff, and what is all this I hear about some book?
You can find me on hitfix.com. My blog is called What's Alan Watching, and the book is The Revolution Was Televised. I believe it's out of stock at Amazon right now, but it should be back in within a couple of days, so order it now. You will still be getting it by Christmas if that is your thing.
You can also follow Alan on Twitter at Sepinwall, Sepinwall.
All right, Joe Reed, what do you have to?
Decider.com, we're running our Ultimate Holiday Showdown. It's a bracket of the best Christmas movies and or Christmas specials. We are down to our final 8, as we call them, the Elfin 8. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is up against Charlie Brown Christmas in one of the matchups, so go on and vote at Decider.com.
All right, and what's happening at previously.tv? I know what's happening. It's Law and Order Week.
That's correct. That's all I was going to say. It's Law and Order Week, so check it out all this week. We have special weird Law and Order things going up every day.
Very nice.
And don't forget to vote for the best draft slate, and some fine classroom on donorschoose.org will get a prize.
Yeah.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariana.
Chung Chung.
Sarah D. Bunting.
I fucked Ted, but good luck proving it.
Joe Reed.
Mama.
And Alan Sepinwall.
No, really, is it because I'm a lesbian?
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, right here on Extra Hot Grade.
You're fired.
Is this because I'm a lesbian?
It is because she's a lesbian. It totally is.
No, it isn't. Oh, it's because she's a terrible actor.